So, Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty is a Democrat of Connecticut's 5th District. So, tell me what happens to the Affordable Care Act now. I know that you've been working with your bipartisan group, the Problem Solvers Caucus, and made up of equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans. And Trump says the markets are collapsing and they'll die on their own now that the repeal vote has failed. But I think, not that you're interviewing me, but I'm interviewing you, but I think that he's trying to make it fail just by sabotaging what exists, Obamacare.
Well, certainly the president's threat not to pay the so-called CSR payments, those are the cost-sharing reduction payments. Essentially, those are subsidies to allow folks who are at the poverty level up to 250% of the poverty level. So we're talking what you would call, you know, working poor, working families that can't really afford full up the cost of an individual insurance premium. We know in parts of the country that this is a huge problem. Carriers are pulling out, and by the president threatening to withhold those payments, that could crater that market, and at the very least, it's going to make the insurance companies decide to jack up premiums through the roof for the individual market because of the uncertainty. So that's part of what this bipartisan group decided, that we needed all hands on deck. We were going to quickly put some ideas out there for the Senate in particular to consider. And you may have heard the end of last week at the time we're talking, Lamar Alexander, who's in charge of the committee in the Senate, Republican in charge of the committee, said he was going to have bipartisan hearings starting in September to look at, among other things, this cost-sharing reduction payments to make sure those stay in place at least for some period of time to allow predictability. And that means bringing costs down for Americans.
Okay, but before we yeah. move on, let me ask you this. In the individual market, there are people who are listening right now who may not even understand what that means. Can you explain it?
Sure. You know, most Americans still get their health care through their jobs. And big insurers all over America have for a long time offered health insurance through a company plan. Part of what the Affordable Care Act was trying to do was recognize smaller companies and individuals, say somebody starting a startup company. A lot of the fastest growing companies in America are little companies or startups. The reality is that young people now, and I've got three of them who are coming up on 28, 25, and 22, that young people expect to be in 6 or 7 or 8 different careers over the course of their life. So increasingly, we're needing to have flexibility and portability of health care and other benefits. So the Affordable Care Act said, let's be realistic about how the economy is changing. Make sure that people have an option to buy affordable health care, whether their company provides it or not, or maybe they're out there on their own with a great new idea. We should make sure that these folks have health care. That was a big idea behind the Affordable Care Act. The problem with that, it's about 7 or 8% of the market, is that that's been hardest to predict how much it's going to cost. And states have had most trouble trying to manage those costs. And that's why some states, particularly those that didn't expand Medicaid, and New York expanded and so did Connecticut, but we're talking, and Massachusetts did too, but a number of states didn't. And those states in particular are having real trouble. And that's an American problem. It's not a Democratic or Republican. And so every member of Congress who's from one of those districts is going to be getting yelled at about what are you doing to try to make sure I can still have health insurance and I don't go bankrupt if one of my kids gets sick.
Don't you think that there are people, Elizabeth Esty, or don't you think that there are people who have some philosophical objection to buttressing this bill by giving insurance companies money?
Of course, there are going to be people with philosophical objections to anything you put on the table. But I think what we found now is over the last 6 months that, quite unlike in 2010, when people were storming, you know, congressional town halls saying, you know, we don't want this Affordable Care Act, right now what folks are finding is, including people who said they didn't want it then, are finding it's actually really valuable to them now. And they may not like the label Obamacare, and they may not like all aspects of it, but they do like the fact that they're not bankrupt now. They do like the fact that if their kid, like a friend of mine's son who's 22, who was diagnosed with a brain tumor 6 months ago, they do want to know that their son can get health care and that he's not going to be uninsurable for life because of pre-existing condition. So I think the American people have been speaking loud and clear, saying, like, we want to fix it. Don't rip it up, fix it. And that's what we're trying to do in Problem Solvers, and at least get the ball rolling, and hopefully the Senate will take that up in September and start getting to the fixing rather than the blaming. The blame game is getting old. Americans are tired of it, and it's time for us to move forward and fix things.
Well, Elizabeth Estey, we have about 3 minutes. I wanted to ask you about something, and that is that you're in this Problem Solvers group. And the Problem Solvers Caucus is Democrats and Republicans, about equal numbers. I have a feeling, after having spoken to some people here and there, that the Republican members of Congress don't really love Donald Trump. In fact, more and more, they're beginning to see his polling numbers going down. They think he is basically bringing them down, but they're scared of him. Is that a correct assessment?
I certainly have heard conversation in the back of the room or in the gym that would support that analysis, Alan.
So unlike the Democrats, the Republicans have a different kind of problem because they're facing the 2018 elections. So do the Democrats have a chance of taking the House in 2018?
Oh, I think so. But again, at the end of the day, what people want is their lives to be better. And people want government to function efficiently and well and be predictable. And both parties should be interested in that. And at the end of the day, the bottom line is mostly about jobs. You know, whoever is working hard and delivering on helping grow the economy. And people have seen wages be too stagnant. I mean, that's not a Democrat or Republican problem. That's an American issue we've got to address. And I'm willing to work with anybody who's trying to figure out creative ways forward on that that actually work in the modern 21st century economy. So I'm hopeful that whatever chaos is in the White House may actually help encourage Congress to function better. And that would be a good result if we can get that. And I'm seeing some signs of that. I really am. For whatever people's motivations may be, it's a good thing if Congress actually starts to work.
Okay, I got a minute, 48 seconds, and here's the deal. I've been hearing pundits saying that Nancy Pelosi, even though adored by the members of her conference, is dragging the Democrats down. Is that true?
I think it's really easy to point to scapegoats. Again, the end of the day, I find, is people do not care about who leadership is. People don't care about the inside baseball in Congress or in the White House. What people care about is their own lives, as they should.
But I don't have the feeling that when you take a poll, do you admire Nancy Pelosi? She does very well, but her members love her.
Well, I think people want strong leadership and effective leadership. And in House districts in particular, I'll tell you, people want to know, what have you done for me lately? You know, do you understand what it costs to buy a gallon of milk in the 5th District of Connecticut? What does it cost to buy a gallon of gas? Are you out there with your ear to the ground and actually in companies, in grocery stores, you know, at the Rotary Club to know what people's concerns are?
So are you avoiding the question?
No, because I got to tell you, nobody asks me when I'm out and around what I think I'm going to do about leadership. Now, in political gatherings, sure. But person on the street, no. They don't care about that. I know folks who are political, keen political observers like you, it's great inside baseball, but it's inside baseball.
It's great to talk to Congresswoman Elizabeth Estey, Democrat of Connecticut's 5th District. She's been in office since 2013. She's one of my great favorites. I'm so glad you're with us.
Thank you.